Yes, this is RSN Central on this Friday, the 26th of November. Good morning to you listening on your local RSN 927 dial throughout Victoria and Tasmania. And hello to you wherever you may be listening on the RSN 927 app, our sister channels right across the country, and also on our website at rsn.net.au. We are live from Wodonga on Cup Day. Unfortunately, the rain is falling. We're crossing our fingers that the meeting goes ahead. It's probably 50-50 as we speak, but we've got a big show coming your way. Regardless if the meeting goes ahead, everybody's still going to rock up here at Wodonga and have a fun day. Peter Maher, a legend in this part of the world, a full-time Wodonga Cup winner as a trainer, will be joining us. Brian Flanagan, the vice president, is not far away as well. And Colin Haynes, a legend as well of this part of the world. He's been a wonderful administrator in racing in Wodonga. So looking forward to catching up with Colin. But Matty Stewart joins me here live at Wodonga. Hello to you, Matty.
Hello, Gareth.
Have you enjoyed yourself so far? When you arrived here last night, it's been, well, the weather was pretty good last night, but it started to rain this morning, unfortunately.
Yeah, it hit it at about Benalla yesterday, yeah. And then it dried off, and then the wind came, and it was looking good. And now, as you say, it's Peter Maher told me off air, he said there used to be an army barracks out the back, and we are at war with the weather right now. And I don't know, it looks like a 50-50, but I didn't realise how beautiful the Wodonga racecourse was. The marquees that are set up, it's just so lovely. And I really hope for the club's sake. And as the guys were saying off air, the town's been locked up for so long, they'd be mad not to come out regardless. 100%. So we invite everyone to come out regardless of what the weather's doing.
Now, let's head out onto the track for the all-important track update. And we have a roving reporter. He's become a great friend of ours here on RSN 927. He's part of our team. He is the prince, I think, of Albury-Wodonga when it comes to the trading rakes. He's yet to take the mantle as the king, but he's definitely the prince. I speak of Mitchell Beer, and he's out and about at the 200 metre mark with Ash Hocken, who's the track curator here at Wodonga for this track update here. And I say a big hello to Mitchell Beer on RSN Central on this Friday morning. Good morning to you, Mitch.
Good morning, guys. These beer and Skittles ratings mustn't be too good, because I've been stitched up an absolute treat out here at the 200 metre mark at Wodonga. Here with the track manager, Ash. We've just had a look at the track, and Ash, what are your thoughts so far?
Yeah, at the moment it's holding up pretty similar to what it was this morning. We have had probably a mil since the track inspection this morning, but with this wind, I don't think the ratings changed too much.
So that's good news then, Ash. Yeah. What's the track up? What's the track rating as we speak?
Ash hasn't been blessed with a set of headphones, so I'll relay the message on. Ash, we're still comfortable with it at the heavy nine stage?
Yeah, I think so at the moment. Hopefully, best case scenario, this rain goes away and the wind stays here. But yeah, at the moment, still in the heavy nine range.
So Mitch, what about you as the trainer? Do you think that we'll race today? Are you confident that we'll get a couple of races underway anyway?
Yeah, most definitely. I walked this track at 11 o'clock yesterday, and I think it's in far better shape today than what it was yesterday. There's a little bit of surface water around, and you know, when that rain stopped at 3 o'clock yesterday afternoon, it's dried up terrific. But it is a credit to Ash and his team here and the Wodonga Turf Club. The amount of surface water that is laying around and that has been for the last 24 hours, this track is in incredible shape, and there'd be a lot of tracks here in the northeast and the south of New South Wales that wouldn't be racing.
It's your fault, basically, if the meeting doesn't go ahead after your report this morning saying it's all clear, no rain overnight, and the meeting will be going ahead. And then since then, it hasn't stopped raining.
Yeah, no, I'll wear that. But I don't know who's responsible for this 1983 Sport 927. It's vintage edition umbrella, but it's about to get turned inside out and end up at about the 800-metre mark if we don't get off this track soon. So I hope you boys are enjoying the warmth of that marquee, and there'd want to be a latte waiting for us when we get back.
Better get back here into the marquee. It's a little bit warmer under this marquee, but at least we aren't getting wet. Thanks for that, Mitch, and good on you, Ash. Congratulations. You've done a wonderful job with this track, and we'll cross our fingers for you, mate, and hopefully this meeting gets underway. But let's welcome in our first guest here for RSN Central special coverage of Wodonga Cup Day. Brian Flanagan, who's the Vice President of the Wodonga Turf Club, joins us. Hello to you, Brian. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Gareth. It's great to be on it.
It's a big day for the club. Regardless if it goes ahead or not, you're expecting the people of Wodonga to head to the races to have a fun time, because it's one of the biggest days on the calendar in Wodonga.
And that's what we've made the day into. It's not about racing. We've made it into a social day for Wodonga. So 5-6 years ago, we changed our Melbourne Cup public holiday, lobbied with the people and the council, and we got it voted to move the public holiday to today to give the Wodonga people and the town of Wodonga a real economic boost and something to do.
I had a very interesting half hour at Bow Repairs getting a flat tyre fix this morning, and the guys there were telling me about how half of them got the option of Melbourne Cup Day public holiday and half of them got today, and they're looking at the weather thing and they wish they'd taken up the other option. But what's the story with the infrastructure here? Is so, you know, there's so much has gone into this. There's so many marquees. It looks absolutely amazing. If the meeting falls over at some stage in the next hour or two, what's the backup plan? Can you keep things in place and try and get a second opportunity within a week or so? How does it play out if the meeting does go under today?
I think with the heavy schedule of racing, it's pretty hard to reschedule a meeting. And with the town and being a Friday, everything's set up for the people to come down. They're in marquees, come and enjoy themselves and catch up, because as we know, we've been in lockdown for a long time. This is sort of like a mini Christmas get-together for a lot of people as well, and they get to see each other, and it's usually once a year.
So even just on the off chance that the race meeting doesn't proceed, you're still inviting people along, hoping people come along and have a great day anyway, regardless.
Yeah, that's what it's all about here.
Well, that's the message to locals today, isn't it? Yeah.
We don't treat it just as a race day. So it's a get-together, come down and say hello and have a beer and have some fun.
Yeah. Brian, I was lucky enough to meet the majority of your board there last night at our little bit of a Calcutta that we had there at a pub in Albury, I think it was, because that's that's the only place we could get a licence in New South Wales to do our Calcutta. But it was great to catch up with everybody involved with your racing club. But for these clubs to run, you need people to support it and people to volunteer their services and have a great passion for the game and a great passion for the club so you can conduct days like this. And recently, the Wodonga Turf Club made a couple of gentlemen, life members, who have put in a lot of time to make this club great.
Yes, that's right. At our AGM, Peter Maher, legendary trainer in this area, and legendary family as well. But Peter's trained here for nearly 45 years.
Yep.
And he actually first trained over near the 800-metre mark and used to bring the horses over the railway crossing, down the hill and onto the track. And he's been over in the present situation since 1985. And he's had some great horses in Atlantic Comet. There was a committee man who had Green Pick.
Yep.
And they liked the party pretty hard, as Pete would know. There was In the Shadows with the Waltmans. So he's had some great owners and things like that. The thing about Peter Maher as well is some of the jockeys he's brought through the ranks. So Alan Fitzgerald, like trainer now, was a very good jockey around here. Paul Saunders. And probably the most famous is Danny Beasley, currently still riding in Singapore. Went to Gay Waterhouse too, I think. So,
yep.
Pete, not only horse skills, but also people skills to get a jockeys in their career.
And Pete's about to join us. And Colin Haynes as well. He was the former president of this turf club, and he's put in a lot of his time at this club as well. And recently he was awarded life membership as well.
Yes, Colin's one of those great guys around the club. His knowledge and his passion for business has definitely moved this club a long way forward. He's always got innovative ideas and not willing to push them forward. I'm not scared to push them forward. And if we don't agree, he doesn't chuck the toys out of the cot or whatever. He moves on and thinks of another plan to do. But the thing with Cole, Mark, the president, he's young as well. I'm fairly young. We needed Cole to stay along as vice president with us. Just give us some guidance and help us along the way so we can help this club move forward.
And it's 10:44. Here we are live at Wodonga for Cup Day here on RSN Central. Let's welcome in the new life members at the Wodonga Turf Club. And first of all, Peter Maher, welcome to RSN Central, mate. It's great to catch up with you.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Gareth. It's a pleasure to be here, really.
Four-time cup winner, mate. This has been a good race for your stable and your family.
Oh, it has, yeah. See, Dad was president for 25 years and, you know, I was probably nearly born here, really. I was coming here as a kid and terribly involved, so it's a great honour to be given life membership, to be honest.
Let's get down to Tintax, Pete. You know the track better than anyone and the weather and all that. What's your, if you're a gambling man, what would you say?
Oh, we just need a little bit of break in the weather, that's all. It'll dry up if we get a bit, you know, this wind is really good. Just needs to stop raining, that's all.
And Colin Haynes, welcome to RSN Central as well, mate. Congratulations on the life membership. Why does this club mean so much to you, Colt?
Oh, well, I'm a local guy in business here. Yeah, it's just been a passion of mine, racing. Raced horses here for the last 15, 20 years. Yeah, very privileged to get a life membership of the club. Magnificent group of guys, and really proud of the achievements we've put into place over the last 10 or 12 years. Have some grand plans going forward, like everyone does. But yeah, no, we're in a great place, and the club is a great bunch of people.
Cole, can I just quickly ask you about the town? I haven't been up to Wodonga for a long, long time, and everything just seemed shiny, brand new. Every building seems to. There seems to have been an amazing building period in this town in the last 20 years or so, where everything seems so modern. What's been going on here in the last 20 years? It's unrecognisable to the town that I visited 20, 25 years ago.
Yeah, well, as you recall then, the railway line went through the main centre of the town. It was diverted around it, and it opened up that passage of land which has been developed, which you're referring to, Junction Place and Woolworths and the Mans Centre, are all brand new buildings in the last 5 years. Transformed the city into a really vibrant, great place to live. 45,000 people, just a great community, and there's a great vibe getting around the city at the moment. A lot of plans for the future, and a very good council who we're very fortunate support our race club, which is a big thing, as everyone in racing knows.
Is it because Albury's this established, beautiful, always been the bigger town, and it seems like Wodonga's always been playing a little bit of catch-up, but it has rapidly caught up. What's the relationship? I've always been fascinated by the relationship between Albury and Wodonga. Is it a friendly relationship?
Oh, most certainly. Yeah, we have a really healthy respect for each other. We try and help each other. We try and attract events. We try and bring jockeys and horses here, which are, for the better of everyone. Our relationship's great.
Pete was just having a giggle in the background. He's laughing at Mitchell Beer as he walked in, drenched here, Pete. How have you accepted this young man into your training ranks on the border?
No, he's been a revelation, really. He's full of fun, and he's been excellent.
Why do you love this game so much for, Pete?
We have great highs and you have terrible lows, but the highs are... Yeah. You know, just an adrenaline rush, really, when you're with a Wodonga Cup or, you know, any big race in town or something like that. Even win a maiden, it's
yeah.
Pete, what's it been like through your career with the dominant presence of the Cox family, like Ollie, then Brian, and they tended to... And Brian used to bring 25 horses to his own Cup Day. What was it like trying to compete with the Coxes, with two generations of Coxes?
Well, Brian was amazing, really. He'd bring horses in, especially to run them Cup Day, I think. He'd just target every race, the cup especially. And as you say, he'd have nothing to have 20, 25 runners. I think one year he won six races or five races, which is just astonishing, really. And although they were tremendous horsemen, and as you say, you know, it wasn't easy to beat him. I beat him twice at Green Peak, and I think he had a couple in both times, and he was a bit upset when I knocked him off. But anyway, that's racing. But they were enormous horsemen, really.
Atlantic Comet, Green Peak, just to name a few of your superstars over the years. What's been your greatest moment on this racetrack?
Oh, probably a horse called Silver Hermes, which she trained over the road there, and Terry actually trained her. But Dad was, as I said, president for a long time, and that was the first cup he'd ever won at Wodonga, and it was like winning a Melbourne Cup for Dad, really. It was just enormous. And Alan Fitzgerald rode the horse, and it was 2,000 metres at the time, and I remember going past the winning post, and Terry gets pretty vocal, and he just screamed to Fitzy, "You're leading, you idiot!" Anyway, the horse finished up winning, and everyone was happy.
Well, those great stories that you can find at a country racetrack, Matty.
Exactly. Hey, all the tracks require a lot of upkeep, and I'm not sure what the population of trainers is and whether it's been constant or growing. I know Wangaratta's gone through a lot of growth, Colin, these days. What's the next 10 years look like for the growth and the amenities and the horse population and trainer population here?
We have some great trainers. Unfortunately, a lot of them are getting on in years, and we're always trying to recruit new trainers. We have good facilities.
What's the sell? If there's a trainer out there thinking, where do I base myself? Why should I go to Wodonga?
Oh, well, we offer a track where you're situated. You're on the track in 5 seconds. There is no travel. There is no downtime. There's a safety factor there, obviously, where horses are secure. The racing surface is probably one of the best outside the capital cities. Probably getting a bit carried away today, but it probably has the best drainage of any country track. So it's just a good racing surface.
And it's a central... Mitch has really benefited by the placement of his horses, even to places like Leeton and so on. For trainers that don't have those super-duper Group 1 horses, there's a terrific circuit within a couple of hours around of this place?
Oh, yeah. Look, you know, Albury, Wagga, Wangaratta, Benalla, and the major one, obviously, Wodonga. no, look, we're privileged with the tracks we have.
Pete, you've got a few runners today on Cup Day. How many winners?
I'll be thrilled if I get one, to be honest, but I'm not sure if they handle it real well. But there's a couple that will race pretty well. Spanish Palette will race well. Barramundi Lad should race well. So, yeah, I'm hoping.
What's your best?
Probably Spanish Palette in the last, I reckon.
If you were true to the area, you wouldn't call it Barramundi Lad. It'd be Carp Lad, wouldn't it?
Maybe.
And before we let you go, Colt, what's been the most proudest moment in your time as an administrator at this club?
Oh, being president was a great challenge. I've been in private enterprise all my life, and I was able to bring that ability, I suppose, to the club. We've managed to do a lot of great things, but probably getting a public holiday, and we've had it extended for 5 years this year, so we have security there for the next 5 years that the cup will be on this Friday. We've never had a wet day, so I'm not sure what we're doing wrong.
No.
But anyhow, we'll get through today.
Brian, thanks for having us, mate. Congratulations to Mark and your club for the job that you've been able to do and the hospitality that you've shown us since we've arrived here. And we'll be back next year. Don't worry about that. We'll have a big Calcutta and hopefully the weather's a little bit better. But I love getting the country cups, and as Colin pointed out, the public holiday, everybody's excited. This is what people living in these areas, this is what they look forward to, even if they don't follow racing, to head to a cup day like this, social day, catch up with friends and family, and hopefully they can still enjoy it anyway today, because I can tell you, under a marquee, you wouldn't know it's raining.
No, and that's right. And that's it. Come down, enjoy the day, catch up with all your friends. But personally, I'd like to thank RSN for their time and passion in country racing. We did have a good night last night.
We did,
and something to build on, so thank you.
And it's not pelting down, folks, if you're listening and you're within 50 k's. It's actually easing, and get here.
Good on you, Pete. It's a pleasure to meet you, mate. You're a star. Well done, Colin. And thank you to you, Brian, and good luck with your club today.
Thank you.
10:53, the big ruckman's just arrived. Johnny Segler, Mitchell Beer will be joining us once again. We'll catch up shortly with Adam White as well with the big breaking story in the cricket. Tim Payne is stepping away from the game. He's struggling mentally, so we're thinking of Payne and his family after that decision was made today. And James Henderson, his manager, tweeted that out on his social media platform. So we'll catch up with Adam White with the latest there. It's a big day in all three codes as well, or a big weekend coming up. Inter Dominion in the trots tomorrow night, the Sports Holy Grail. And also in the Greyhounds tonight, we'll have a comprehensive preview a little later on with Georgie Ferugia and Jason Adams as we take a look at this year's Tab Melbourne Cup. It's $500,000 to the winner, would you believe? Geez, it's grown in stature over the years, the Tab Melbourne Cup. And tonight, the best greyhounds in the land will do battle for the sport's biggest prize. Also, of course, we'll have a Form Express previewing all of today's meetings for the Friday and then a big Metro Form Express as well. But we'll take a break. John Segler, Mitchell Beer will be joining Gareth Hall, myself, of course, and Matty Stewart straight after this. It's 10:54. We are live at Wodonga for RSN Central on this Friday morning. 10:55, Gareth Hall with you on RSN Central. We are live from Wodonga on Cup Day. Matty Stewart's with me. We'll be catching up shortly with the new ruckman for the Geelong Football Club, Johnny Segler. We'll also catch up with Mitchell Beer in just a moment. But it's time to say a big hello to Adam White, who has the latest with his situation with Tim Payne, the former Australian Test captain, who's stepping away from the game indefinitely. due to struggling mentally, basically, which isn't good news this morning as we woke up to it. James Henderson, his manager, tweeted that to inform us of Tim Payne's decision to step away from the game. And Adam White joins us. G'day, Whitey. Thanks for your company, as always.
Thanks, Gareth.
It surprised me a little bit when I heard the news today, and I guess now as a sporting fan, we're just thinking of Tim Payne.
Yeah, absolutely. So the development came this morning because Tim was supposed to be playing for Tasmania in a one-day game today, and it was a late decision for him to be included in that team, and I think it was the idea was to give him an extra hit and an extra, you know, 50 overs behind the stumps, but I think particularly from a batting perspective because he failed in both innings in that second 11 game. So just to give him as much time as possible to prepare for the first test because, of course, apart from the texting dramas, he'd obviously had that injury and he hasn't played a lot of cricket. So he was sort of the idea was that he would play in the game today. And when he pulled out of that one, as you said, James Henderson, his manager, announced on social media that he's stepping away from the game indefinitely because of mental health reasons.
Do you think we'll see him back playing for Australia ever again?
Look, I don't think so, Gareth. I think, you know, again, we've got to put all of this into perspective. I think if this all hadn't happened a week ago, the chances were that Tim was going to play this home Ashes series and then retire. He's 37 in a couple of weeks, so, you know, he's obviously coming towards the end of his career. You know, he almost ended his career 4 or 5 years ago to take a job at Kookaburra and all of a sudden found himself back with the gloves at test level before he was captain. A lot has obviously happened in the 4 years since. So I don't see how he will play again. I hope he at least, you know, even gets back and plays for Tasmania. But my gut feeling is, as I said to you, Gareth, you know, when he was thinking about retiring 4 years ago, when he wasn't the first choice wicketkeeper for Tassie, I think if he's not playing for Australia, I think he's probably not playing at all. Tassie have got quite a few keepers to choose from without him playing, so it's not like there's desperation for him to play for Tassie. And considering his age, yeah, I'd say it's probably the end.
Do you think he's been let down by Cricket Australia?
Look, we've spoken about this throughout the course of the last week, and I know a lot of people are getting a bit sick of it all, but this is obviously a new development. I think they have let him down. You know, I've said this a few times this week, notwithstanding what happened between himself and the woman involved. But the reality is that 4 years ago, Tim Payne helped Cricket Australia get themselves out of a real pickle and did an extremely good job at leading Australia out of a very, very difficult period. And then when Tim Payne needed support, it wasn't shown to him. That would be my view on this. And as I said, I'm certainly not condoning what he did. But in my view, it was more an issue between himself, the woman and his family. And his view was that he had been thwarted 4 years ago. It was seen as a private matter. That private matter has now become public. And we know what's happened as the week has progressed. But it does fit very uncomfortably with me as it stands at the moment that someone that helped Australia in its time of need is now really struggling. And it doesn't appear that there's been support there for him from Cricket Australia.
And I know people in the media have got jobs to do to have opinions and all that, but sometimes it frustrates me with what I've read and heard over the last week or so regarding this situation when people are reporting and have an opinion without knowing all of the facts. And I don't think all of the facts have been released just yet. So I wish Tim Payne and his family, he made a mistake, Tim Payne, but I wish him all the best. Now, Whitey, I know you've got your favourite here, Mitchell Beer. He loves you, Mitchell, Adam White. He's a big fan. I don't know, is it because you like food? But Adam's got a bit of a man crush on you.
Well, it's nice to have one fan out there, Gareth.
He wants to go on tour with you to do a Chinese restaurant. Bit of a go around country Victoria and test them all out.
I think you shared loves of food and a fascination with grass.
Yeah, I've really got into the lawn lately. I think that's really when you get that stage of your life when it's over. You start getting obsessed with.
Sorry, there's no doubt about that, Mitchell. There's absolutely no doubt about that.
I'll slide into your DMs, Whitey, about some fertiliser. And
when you wake up in a cold sweat in the middle of the night and yell out, Kokuyu.
Good on you, Whitey. Thanks for that.
I want to know the tip in the first couple of races.
You had to have driven 4 hours on the rain to get 100%. That tip.
It's not hard to. It's race one, number seven, and race two, number seven.
We're chips in on the sevens in the first two races, and hopefully we haven't had seven more mills by then, or we'll be cactus. But I declared the races on this morning, so I'm going around telling everyone they're off, and they'll race right through to the last.
Yeah. Good on you, Whitey. Thanks for that.
Thanks, guys.
Cheers. There's Adam White with the latest on Tim Payne. John Segler joins us here. Former Hawk, now he's with the Cats. But I met him for the first time yesterday at our Calcutta, and I never knew that he loved his racing so much. G'day, Johnny. Welcome to RSN Central.
Thanks for having me on this winter's day in late November. It's probably racing's my passion, probably outside of footy, or it's probably the reason I love racing is to get away from footy sometimes. Yep. So it's an infectious thing. Once it's in your blood, it's very hard to get out, so I've had a passion for a long time, and I love coming to country racing especially, and Wodonga Cup Day is something that I try and pencil in the calendar every year.
So how did you catch the bug?
Well, my first job was marking out stables for Dave O'Pray across the track here, so from then on in, it was sort of...
Well, you couldn't be a jockey.
No, and funny, growing up, I think I wanted to be a jockey, and I loved horses, loved animals, and then just grew very quickly, so... Yeah. I sort of went the other way and got a job in the industry, and then with footies, give me some opportunities to own racehorses and meet a lot of people through the industry.
Did you play a lot of footy in this league up here?
I did once I got to about 17. I must admit, until I was 16, 17, I was probably the worst player in every side I ever played in. I played in a lot of sides with good players, and they never played AFL, and I have, and they always scratch their head and think, what happened in those few years?
So you've learnt when you're telling your mates when you buy a two-year-old, just got to be patient sometimes because you can... So as a three- or four-year-old, you developed into a star?
Oh, geez, I wouldn't throw the word star around. If I was a racehorse, I think people would have ran out of patience with me.
You would have been on English Digital and changed hands a few times
The only person who would have made money out of me would have been the vets, I think.
Were you always injured and not quite sort of getting the opportunity? Or what was the penny drop moment for you?
I was probably always tall, and it just took me a long time to grasp the coordination properly. And then probably getting a little bit more serious once I got to 17. I probably played cricket. I was, into everything, and I probably needed to channel a bit of my commitment just to footy. And once I did that, then this started rolling, and it's been a bit of a journey since then.
Mm. How difficult was it last season for you at the Hawks, and was it a relief to get a new start at Geelong?
Difficult. With probably everything that's going on, we tried to, as an older playing group, sort of block it all out and have that, it doesn't affect us sort of mentality, which... Not using an excuse, but looking back, it was it was pretty a fair bit of turmoil in our footy club last year. But then this opportunity arose, and I sort of sat back and thought, well, if I stay at Hawthorn for one more year, that's probably me done. Their list is going in a different direction. Where I had the opportunity to go to Geelong for 2 years, and it could be more than that. So it just gave a bit of a new lease on life, and give you a reason to get out of bed and do a bit of training in the morning.
I love watching Danger, and I watch his career really closely, and I reckon he will be really, really keen to have a massive season. I reckon he was a bit... nothing quite gelled in the last 12 months or so. Do you reckon Danger's sense of pride will be, I'm going to blow him away this season?
Now he's
up?
Got a ruckman that can tap it down his throat out of the centre.
I think when you... Blokes like him and Joel, they've got... they're that competitive, and they hold themselves to such high standards that it doesn't matter what they've done the year before, good, bad, or otherwise, they are that determined to do so much better the next year. For blokes like that, you never have to really worry if they've got the motivation, because something in their DNA, I saw it with Hodgie, Sam Mitchell, Louis, blokes like that, they just, doesn't matter what's happened, every morning they get up and they just have this determination to do better. And I think I don't know him that well yet, but I have a feeling that he's that personality. So when you've got people like that in your football club, it holds you in great stead because everyone else just follows behind.
You've had a good break. You've been in the spelling paddock now for a few weeks. You're looking forward to getting back into work.
Yeah, I am actually. It's exciting. I think I'll start next Wednesday
down there, and then I think everyone's back next Monday. So it's been a big break, but yeah, looking forward to getting to a new club and seeing how I go.
Is pre-season what it used to be? Like, I remember Gareth used to play a bit, and I used to until
me,
I got shin splints.
I got shin splints pre-season.
And pre-season used to be running a lot down roads and sort of doing ridiculous things. Is is it skill based now, or do you have to really slam it in the pre-season like the old days?
No, I think probably back then, when you rocked up to pre-season, you hadn't done anything.
Yeah.
Like, I've been running for 10 weeks.
Yeah.
I think it all
went in the pre-trainers.
Our program was meant to start the week before the grand final, and I refused to run while other people were still playing football. I said, this is madness. So
he did a Seinfeld, Mitch. He chose not to run.
You have to run. So, and you have to
gotta run.
I think as players now, you get to day one pre-season in really good shape. So that allows you to just do footy. Don't worry, you do a lot of kilometres, but there's no, like, there's no 9K runs or, you know, an hour run. Now it's, you do your 8 to 10Ks, but you'll do it all with the footies in hand. So you don't actually notice the distance you're doing.
Yep.
I know nothing about AFL or fitness for that matter. But, you know, we try and explain a little bit to owners in the same regard is, you know, when you have a horse have that residual fitness, it means so much difference. And I think probably back in the day when you'd knock off at the end of the season and get on the cans and not leave the couch, and it was an off season, but I think we've learnt so much more about core fitness and keeping that residual, so it's so much easier to get fit without the strain on your legs. And I guess it's the science that comes into it and the people and the studies and the data at the club that help you along the way and how it's changed the pre-season in the last 10, 20 years.
Yeah, for sure. I think the days of doing nothing for months and then getting back are gone. I think we have about 3 weeks of nothing, and then you just slowly tick the legs over. So it's not a big shock to the system, and that's when injuries happen. And same with probably horses. Once you go from 0 to 100 very quickly, you're looking for trouble.
Joe, I'm fascinated to hear your dreams and aspirations in the racing industry straight after this race at Healesville. John Segler, the new ruckman for the Mighty Cats, Mitchell Beer, the number one trainer these days, and Aubrey Wodonga, and Matty Stewart's with us as well. Brendan Delaney's calling the action at Healesville. We usually have a bit of a syndicate on a Friday, guys. I'll put the money in today. What do you want to go with, the one or the two?
Oh, I was going to go the pink dog.
Oh, the pink's at $23 here.
I'm always on the five.
All right, so we've got Spectre Lit, $23, which is, of course, After Suits, one of my favourite shows that I watched in lockdown there, Spectre Lit. You've got a bit of lit about you. I think Johnny's a bit more like a spectre. And then Seize Possession is my tip too at $2.60. As we head to Brendan Delaney for the first. RSN Central, it's 11 minutes past 11. We are live at Wodonga for Cup Day. Gareth Hall, Matthew Stewart, our special guests here. John Segler, the new ruckman for the Cats, a local boy who loves his racing. He's about to tell us what he's going to do after his football career and turn into the biggest breeder and owner that this state's ever seen, or Northeast Victoria's ever seen, and Mitchell Beer, who is trying to talk him into being his private trainer. John, tell us a bit about your dreams and aspirations in the racing game.
I think just to own fast racehorses is a good start. I've probably taken a bit of time to get a few more better horses. But as a local Wodonga person, to win a Wodonga Cup, I think everyone that grows up here in racing would love to win their local cup. Haven't had a runner in it. I was meant to have a couple of runners today, but none of them like the wet, so we've sort of pulled the pin on that this morning. It was in race two, so I was a bit nervous because Mitch is tipping his in race two to anyone that'll listen at the moment.
He's disappointed that you scratched because of the reductions is going to hurt his price from now on.
Yeah, but you've got to realise I tip everything, so yeah. take it with a grain of salt.
I did learn that early on when I met Mitch, I must admit.
Yeah. So life after football, you want to be involved in the racing industry?
Yeah, I think so, I do. It's probably just planning that the most strategic way, because it's not an easy industry to be involved in. You have to love it, and you wouldn't do it for money. You've got to do it for love. So it's trying to strategically work out how I stay involved. I'll always be involved as an owner, and I think I've got a fair few horses trained locally because I love the local area, and then a few in town as well. So I think with the adjustment property I've got, and then maybe something along the media lines in this northeast area, I'll come up with a bit of a plan and work it out from there.
So how many horses on the farm then?
There's about 20 at the moment. Yeah. So I'm very lucky to have the support of, well, Peter Maher, who was here before, Dave O'Pray, Mitch, and then Ben Brisbane from Wangaratta. Mm-hmm. So we've only been going 12 months, but slowly building up a little bit of a clientele base. And then a couple of local, you know, owners and breeders who don't have their own farm. So it's a slow burn, but it's one that's very rewarding.
You're a young man that's made his way into the game as well and took a punt, Mitch. Do you like the way that Johnny's approached it?
Yeah, I had a random text a while ago from a mutual friend of ours, Luke Wilkinson, and he said, a mate of mine's setting up a spelling farm not far from Aubrey. I said, oh, great. And went out there and sort of only been there a week or two, and the farm has come a very, very long way in a short amount of time. And I think, you know, John and the team's vision for the farm and what they want to do moving forward is long-term, and it's very exciting, you know, to see those sort of facilities and those sort of commitments coming to our border area is great. And John and I have struck up a good friendship. We get our coffees at the same cafe and put it on his account, and he hasn't noticed yet. So yeah.
Is it a hard thing to do, John? Like, it's not just putting fences around paddocks and there you go. You need to know a bit about the pasture, don't you? And there's a lot of logistics involved. How difficult is it to set up an adjustment? It doesn't sound like it's a complicated type of thing, a facility like that, but it is, isn't it? There's a lot to take on board.
Yeah, I think if you wrote down all the headaches you'll have in the first 12 months, you wouldn't do it. It's a bit like becoming a horse trainer. The facility we bought was sort of half set up, so I sort of had a bit of a structure to work with. And then lucky with a few people that helped me who were very, you know, involved in the industry. So a lot of support and guidance from, you know, I ring people and ask. But, yeah, it's not just throw a feed bucket in each day and walk away, because you can do that, but the product you get at the end is not what people are after. So you've got to take a bit of pride with it. But the fencing, pasture, everything. And there's always a headache with the racehorse, I've learned. Every day you sort of, I walk through the gate and it's like, what's going to be today's challenge?
Wait till you get a trainer's license.
So do you have a water walker, and are you going to be starting to pre-train horses maybe when you finish your footballing career?
Are you going to make Leneva Park look like a hokey little joint?
No, I've...
Because it's Yakandanda Park. Is that your farm? Yeah.
No, I don't. At this stage, no water walker. Maybe a treadmill one day and then get down that road. But until I'm home full time, what we do at the moment, it works well with the staff I've got. It's still a big enough challenge until I'm here on the ground every day. But no, and I enjoy, it's not as time consuming as once you go down that pre-training course or training course, it's a 24/7 sort of job. And I've probably got a bit of best of both worlds. Yeah. It is time consuming, but you can walk away during the day and don't have too many stresses.
I love David Eustace's interview with Michael Felgate this morning about how Mara and Eustace have implemented a school program for the kids in school holidays if they've even had no experience with horses but want to be involved in the industry. They'll take them on for a couple of weeks to teach them the ropes in a way. And it just proves, as John has just pointed out to us here on RSN Central, Matty, you don't necessarily have to be a trainer or a jockey to be involved in the game. There's other avenues where you can make a living.
Well, I've got a 15-year-old at the moment who's going to Melbourne Polytechnic, which is part of his school curriculum. This never happened when we were kids that you could... He's got 2 or 3 weeks out of school, but still on the curriculum to go and advance his horse riding at what used to be the Northern TAFE through Melbourne Polytechnic, and he's learning the ropes there. And then the next 2 years at school, part of his school curriculum in year 11 and 12 is going to be going to TAFE to do equine studies. So, and that could take a kid in any direction, like the kids that are going to Kieran Mars and Dave Eustace's as well. And then there's things like the Dali Flying Start, and that set you up with probably horse training, and veterinary is probably the peak one academically to try and get into as well. So as you say, you could learn all the skills until you're about 18 or 19, and then there's a lot of opportunities, Mitch.
And I think those programs and those courses are so important, because we sit back and scratch our heads and say, well, why aren't we getting these young kids into stables? Why have we got such a staff shortage? It's changed so much from 10 or 15 years ago, when you could have that kid come in on the weekend and muck out boxes, like how you started, John. And with the insurance and licensing and those sort of rigmaroles now, if someone isn't registered, if someone isn't licensed, the nerves you have of having them in your stable and the liabilities are out of control. So
we've had to sign a lot of paperwork over the last 3 years.
Yeah, it takes away those kids that come in and muck out boxes, and then you get them to, you know, hose their first horse and things like that. You can't have your owners and local kids dropped off on the school holidays and almost babysat at the stables, which is where most of us learnt and fell in love with the game. That's been taken away. So that void has to be filled, and these programs that are now only starting to pop up are getting those kids back into the game.
I was talking to a couple of leading trainers, and one was based at Flemington. He says, well, back in the day, I used to go to the stables with Dad on a Sunday, and it'd be no problems whatsoever. I can't take my kid now to the stables because of all the OHNS issues, and I can be fined, and if something happens, I'm buggered, basically.
I used to get dropped off with my sister up at Old Paddo's, the old clerk of the course, at Shane Patterson's, and I hated every minute of it. And but Mum and Dad couldn't afford a babysitter. We couldn't go to child creche or anything like that. So we literally were raised there, and you ended up falling in love with it. But it's been taken away, and it's very important that we get back on track and get these kids in for a young age. And full credit to the Kiramar stable, who've taken that initiative upon themselves to do that, not from a governing body, but to do that themselves is fantastic.
John, what about similar story with the AFL? I've been boring Gareth to death with my take on this, and Mickey McGuan and I were talking about it the other day about the COVID era of these 14 to 15 year olds who basically have had no footy for 2 years, and how important it's going to be for the clubs and the AFL to really focus hard on generating interesting kids and getting that skills generation of 14 to 15 year olds. Do you wonder whether the COVID era might have a concern for the AFL with that generation of kids?
I think it's going to have, all sports going to have a concern, because now, like when I was a kid, I didn't spend any time inside. Street lights come on, and that's when you knew it was nearly time to go in. Where probably kids over the last 2 years have hardly spent any time outside. So I think it is an issue, and schools probably play a big part in it, making sure kids are enrolled in sport and doing sport, because they are our next AFL players, AFLW players, cricketers. The list goes on. So they've probably got very good at playing Xbox and PlayStation.
The biggest event in the world now is the Xbox Championships.
Games, they reckon they can fill out a stadium, 50,000. I couldn't think of anything more boring than heading to a stadium with 50,000 people, watching two kids sit in the middle of the arena playing a video game.
Do they have a market for it?
Yeah, they do, actually. And you can bet on yourself with the e-games. The gambling industry with e-games is huge.
Imagine 12-year-old running himself dead for three in a row and then pulling off a plunge.
Unfortunately, they're doing that. I found out. No, the hard way. Hey, Johnny, just before we let you go, Mitch, it's been great catching up with you. Anthony Mithen, the boys love him. They always head down there, the big Tomahawk and Joel Selwood. He'd be a great person to learn from, especially maybe, Mitho, maybe you can send a couple of horses my way at Yakandanda Park.
We'll just work on that one. Yep. I better get a kick first, and then once I tick that box, I'll start leaning on a few. But, it'll be a good experience to meet all those people, and, looking forward to the year.
Mitchell, what's your best today? Are we betting?
I think, my colt in the first race is a full brother to Sunrise Ruby. He's gone very close as a two-year-old twice on heavy track, so he's short enough. I think if we roll him the win into the horse in the second race each way, we should come out in front.
Do you have a special, Johnny?
I like Moods is in the cup. He's on pace. Get through the soft, whether this rain stays away, but we'll see how we go.
The punters are arriving. The maxis are rolling in.
Do you know what I love about it? The first person that headed off that maxi, it was a young man in his mid-20s with a Carlton draft can and a mullet.
Bless him.
With the crocodile skin shoes and the shirt, the blue and white with the big collar. And you think, well, we're back at the country races.
And he's going in the members. You should see the public.
Yeah, he's a chance today too. I'd back him in.
Can I say a special thank you to the guys at Bow Repairs, Wodonga, this morning?
Yes.
They saved me.
Yeah, they're good people.
It's the country people, Matty.
Are they listening this morning?
Went in. I had a flat tyre, or a flattening tyre. Didn't want to drive home in it. And I said, mate, disaster at Radio Show Rara. He goes, right, Barry, Phil, we've got a problem. Bang, 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 bang. Five minutes later, I drove out. And I didn't realise that car tyres don't have tubes anymore.
No.
Found that out today.
Yep. You'd be a great handyman around your stable or your farm, Johnny. Matty Stewart. Hey, thanks for that, lads. I don't know if you're staying around, Mitchell. Do you have to go back to the stables?
No, my horses aren't far off arriving. I'm on track, so...
You can hang around. Johnny, you've got to get your suit on.
Throw the suit on, and I'll be back.
Looking forward to seeing what Yakandanda Park can do. The best of luck for the Cats,
mate.
Go and dominate.
Thanks very much.
Matty,
thanks, boys.
Safe trip home.
Thanks, boys.
11:23, time for our sports update.